All right, I want to say a Happy New Year. Right off the bat, it's our first service of the new year. And I thank the Lord for another year. And I'm praying that this year will be not only a good year, but I'm hoping it'll be the year the Lord returns. Yeah. And a lot of people may not want that, but I do. I'm kind of homesick. I'm getting kind of sick of what I'm seeing going on down here. And I'm looking forward to seeing better scenery, if you know what I mean. And I'm glad God has prepared a place for us and provided means for us to be able to go there. And I'm kind of like one guy said, I'd just as soon leave as to stay. And I'm hoping this will be the year that the Lord comes for His church. Yeah. If He don't, I guess they're going to kill everybody. I've never seen such a heathenistic bunch in my life. They've been kind of promoting this a little bit. And they showed up on Nancy Pelosi's doorstep and on Mitch McConnell's doorstep. And I guess they realize this ain't playtime no more. The crops come up and it's pretty bad. And I hope they take a hint to all of that rioting and all of that vandalism that was done to their place, because they caused this. They allowed this, and now it's not going to be disallowed. And I don't know the extent of it, but thank God for a new year. Amen. And for the hope of the Lord's soon return. And we got a phone call this week from Brother Bob Malkin up in Ohio. And I think he just called me to encourage me, but I am glad he called me. And I thank God for the encouragement, and what a blessing that was to hear from him up there in Ohio. And he said, if you got time, I said, absolutely. And we had good time in the Lord there. I want to say one more thing before we get in our lesson. I noticed this, the teaching from Revelation has took the precedence of the preaching, amen. Mm-hmm. 31 times this Sunday school lesson was downloaded, and 12 times the preaching was downloaded. And I say glory to God either way. I'm just glad the Word of God is getting noticed. They said that people are buying more Bibles right now than ever has been. People are seeing signs that have been preached about and prophesied about for years, and they're seeing them come to pass. And there is an effort today made by people trying to find out what's in the Word of God. And I do hope that they find a good church, the right church, one that teaches truth, one that does like I'm fixing to do, prays over what they do. But there is a hunger for the Word of God today, and I thank God for that. I know people have been kind of discounting the Bible and the church, yeah, and the things of God, but so much has happened, yeah, in the last months, in the last days, that people have really got aware of the fact that they need to do something with this Jesus. It's called Christ. And we're thankful for that. We want to go to God in prayer over our lesson. Father, we thank you for the privilege to stand today, this first Sunday in 2021, to stand for the Word of God. And Lord, if you are willing that time should go on, somebody, Lord, in years to come may look back and hear this prayer that I'm praying even this morning, this Sunday morning. And Lord, we just pray, God, that you would bless our efforts, Father. I'm standing where no man should stand without being 100% saved. And Lord, I'm standing where a man should not ever stand without asking for the help of God. And we're praying, Lord, that you would help us. Father, we're thankful to know that we're 100% saved. I'm glad, praise God, we have worked out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We've built it on the right foundation. And Lord, we're assured by the Word of God that said these things I've written, that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. Lord, help us, Lord, this morning. Help us, Father, with our eyes. Help us with our ears. Help us with our words, that we may with clarity and assuredness deliver this Sunday school message this morning. And Lord, I pray, Father God, for Brother Ed, he's got to have surgery tomorrow. Yeah. And Lord, my prayer is, Lord, that you would either heal him with divine healing or help him, Father. Lord, during this surgery, may that surgeon have the skill and the ability given by God to have success in it, Lord. We're just praying, Father, one way or another, you restore my brother's sight, Lord, that he might be able to see better than he's ever saw. And Lord, help us all, Lord. You're the one that formed the eye. You said, I formed the eye, shall I not see? You formed the ear, you said, shall I not hear? And Lord, we are your workmanship, and we do pray, God, you'll help us, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us, I pray. And we'll thank you and praise you for whatever you do. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Nothing better than starting with prayer. Amen.
Right.
We ended last Sunday on verse 7. And basically what we covered was the first of seven churches. I don't know if I put my piece of paper in here or not. I hope I did. But the Revelation starts out with seven churches. And I didn't put it in here. It's like seven churches, seven vials. Seven judgments, seven dooms, a lot of sevens, seven seals,
yeah.
Seven wounds in Jesus. There's just a lot about seven and God that I always looked at that number seven.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll start in verse number 8. I want to reread verse number 7. I meant to draw attention to this last Sunday. Verse number 2, God's commending this church of Ephesus. I like what he said there in verse number 2. He said, you've tried them which say they are apostles and are not. And I like this. And has found them liars. In other words, they've done like they did in Acts 17, verse 11, those Bereans which were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And this church, God commends them. They tried these so-called apostles, and they found them to be but liars. I like that. I meant to comment on that last Sunday, but like I said, we're going to reread verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now we're overcomers through Christ.
Yeah.
That said that in the world we'd have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. He said, I have overcome the world. And we're overcomers through him.
That's right.
Verse 8, our first verse. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write. Now John's just writing what the Lord's telling him to do. These are the things which are. Write these things which saith to the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. That's talking about Jesus. Oh, that's a ladybug. I thought I called it. When it makes this reference to the first and last, when Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega, that's the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. But he was the first and the last in this regard too. He's before all things,
yeah.
And by him all things consist. I want to read that because that's such an important verse that you'll understand just how great our Savior is. In Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to start my reading in verse 15, talking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. Get that. God is a spirit, Jesus said. And no man has seen God at any time. Now, how do you see God? Great, I'm glad you asked. Hold on just a minute.
That's right.
How do we see God, Brother Eddie? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Paul penning the word here. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Here's how you see God. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, saint of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. That's how you see God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When Thomas Amen. Said, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. But listen, He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. This is important. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Talking about by Jesus, by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, and that ain't talking about voting machines, or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things. Mm. That's why that verse said in the Revelation there, I lost my place here, the first and the last, which was dead and is alive, He's before all things, listen, and by Him all things consist. Just in case you're wondering about who we're talking about here, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and all things He might have the preeminence. I want you to understand there's more to Jesus than meets the eye. John writing here what the Lord tells him to write, and the Lord says, write unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Jesus is speaking here through the writing of John to the church in Smyrna, and He says, I know thy works and tribulation. Now, we all got light afflictions that we call tribulations. But in China, they're burning people in their houses. They're putting them in prison. They're publicly killing them just like they're doing in Iran. We just got light tribulation in America. Thy tribulation and thy poverty, but thou art rich. Now, that statement, but thou art rich, ain't down here. I'm rich. Oh, my. Old Brother Eddie's getting ready to retire this week. Thursday, January the 7th. I've never retired in my entire life. I've quit jobs, changed jobs, but I've never retired in my entire life. I do desire your prayers.
Yeah.
That God would not only give me the wisdom I need, but would supply the things that I need. Please pray for Brother Eddie. I'm retiring on behalf of my wife that desperately needs me to be there for her sake. I'm leaving the best job I've ever had in my entire life. And I have to admit, it is a step of faith. I do have some reservations. I do have some animosity. I'm not going to try to act like I don't. I do desire your prayers. Amen. He says, thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And that's true with every child of God. Our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And the hills and the taters that are in them. We have a very rich Father. And as Jesus talks to this church, He's kind of rebuking them and encouraging them at the same time. He says, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not. Again, you got false apostles, false Jews. They're trying to cause trouble. Here's two churches here that are commended. The Lord said that I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. You don't want Satan in your church.
Amen.
But I do tell you this with great clarity, Satan wants in your church.
Yes. Amen. Yes. He does.
Oh yes. That's why we need to be vigilant. We've got an adversary, the devil, and he does walk about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's why God told us to put on the whole armor of God that we might stand, and having done all to stand therewith. But we do have an adversary. I do want to read that. I quoted it. But I do want to read that in 1 Peter chapter 5. I got your fly up here, Donnie. Some people want to read it for themselves, and that's good. 1 Peter chapter 5. God says here, verse 8, be sober. That means serious. Be vigilant. That means on watch. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Here's you some good advice. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Morning, Sister Sharon.
Morning.
Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Sometimes we need to be reminded we're not alone in this. And I need to be careful that I don't dwell so much on my own problems as to forget others that are also struggling. And that's why we need to encourage one another, edify one another, and provoke one another in love, because we're all needed. Amen.
Yeah.
But he said, this blasphemy. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he said, count it all joy. Kind of missed my old Bible. Had it all marked up. But he said, count it all joy when men revile you for my name's sake, for great your reward in heaven. And I'm looking for the verse here. I think it says, be exceedingly glad when men revile you for my name's sake, because great your reward in heaven. Maybe I need to back on over here another page here. Maybe that's reading. Here you go. Matthew chapter 5, verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. Wait a minute, we need to read verse 11. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So the Lord's encouraging this church and also gently rebuking them. And he says, I know your works and your tribulation and your poverty, but you're rich. And he says, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Down in verse 13, he talks about even where Satan's seat is, and that's another church. But the Lord says, verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Some people, it costs them their life to live for God. Now we grumble over here, complain over here, but I'm telling you, they hunt them down. In China, they've got face recognition. In China, they've got informants. In China, they've got cameras everywhere. And it's kind of hard to have a life live for Christ in China. And yet, they're thriving over there. And the Lord here says, be faithful unto death. Some of them are actually dying, because of faith. That they won't deny the Lord, and they're being put to death over there. You won't get that on the fake news, but it is happening. I hear a lot on the radio on SRN News, and I hear a lot also on the crosstalk. Verse 11, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Now that second death is mentioned in, I think it's Revelation chapter 20, I think. Yeah. And it says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, and that's the second death. Mentioned in verse 14, I left that out. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. That's Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 through 15. I'm thinking of another verse here. Hold on just a second. I probably won't be able to find it. I'm glad my name's in the book. Let me say it like that.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, his disciples come in one day and they're all excited. They said, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in thy name. And Jesus said, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you in my name, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. I'm rejoicing. My name's written in heaven. Amen. But he that overcometh, and we have through Christ, shall not be hurt by the second death. A lot of people don't understand this, but I've got eternal life. I've got everlasting life. Let me read this verse here real quick. Because this really does. A lot of people get confused right here. I used to be one of them, so I can speak about it pretty good. Now, it took me a while before I got rooted and grounded in the Word of God. I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start reading in verse number 3 for sake of time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. I can't even mess it up. Undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5 is the key verse. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Now, that's good. Now, listen to this. In Jude, it's only one chapter, verse 24. Now, unto him, talking about Jesus, that's able to keep you from falling. You know why old Brother Eddie don't fall? Because I'm being kept by the power of God and by the Son of God. Now to Him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you how? Faultless. Faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. I just want you to know I'm in good hands. If that's not enough, well, let's go to John chapter 10 and we'll end with that right there. Not the Sunday school lesson, but this conversation here. Jesus here, the Good Shepherd, he says this in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Why is that important, Brother Eddie? Well, because over in Matthew chapter 7, when the Lord's rebuking a bunch of religiously lost people, He says this. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He says, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, talking about preaching, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? This key verse right here. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. That's why John chapter 10 is important. The Lord says, I know my sheep. He calls them by name. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave me them, is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I just want you to understand that a lot of people are really mixed up. And the Lord here talks about overcoming, and we have overcome through Him. He's the head of the church. He purchased the church with His own blood. He's coming back for His church. And when He comes back, His church is leaving with Him when we go back to heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And He's not going to leave one single one behind that belongs to Him. I thought about this scripture also, and I guess I should read it. I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 2. Another key verse. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. It's not up to chance. It's etched in stone. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. He's coming for His. He knows those that are His. I'm glad I'm an overcomer. I couldn't do it on my own. I'm telling you, I was lost and undone. But I'm saved to the uttermost now. And I like that. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I'm not worried about death, period. I got eternal life. Death used to haunt me. I can remember as a little 10-year-old boy laying in bed afraid to close my eyes, Sharon, because I was afraid of where I'd wake up at. I'm glad I'm not afraid no more. I'm glad, praise God. Matter of fact, I couldn't die if I wanted to. I'll just tell you right now, one day like Enoch, I'm going to be translated. I'm going to be a was not. And I'm going to be there forevermore. Verse 12, and to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he, again confirming this is the Lord, which hath the sharp sword with two edges. Over in I think it's Revelation 19. It talks about Jesus here. Then it said, out of his mouth, verse 15, goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he's going to rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the one that's got the sword with the two edges, a sharp sword. Verse 13, he says, I know thy works, and he does know our works.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I see y'all's works, but I don't know the motive. But he knows the motive.
Yeah.
That's important. You know, Jesus said, if you so much as give a glass of coal or a glass of water in my name, mm-hmm. He said, we'll be rewarded. Mm-hmm. He knows my motive. He knows why I do what I do. Now, if I done it for old brother Eddie, it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. But if I done it for him, he's going to give rewards. And I want to have rewards. Amen. Yeah, and I want to be able to give unto him that gave unto me, and I ain't got nothing fit to give unto him. So after he gives unto me, I'll have something fit to give a king. Amen. Well, anyway, you get that on the slow train. But he said, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, listen to this, even where Satan's seat is. He's talking to the church at Pergamos, and he says, I know your works, and where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is. I wouldn't want that to be true about any church. But the church of Pergamos has a seat in there that belongs to Satan. I don't know about y'all, but I'll tell this truth. I'm ashamed to tell it, but I'll tell it to you. When I first got saved, and I was very immature, I wasn't seasoned like I am now. I can remember sitting at Bethel Baptist Church, and I didn't see him, but the devil was sitting there beside me. You know what he put in my mind? I hate to admit this, but it does need to be said. It might help somebody. Mm-hmm. The devil put in my mind, I'd leave. That'll show them. You see that little pity party, that righteous indignation that would make someone think along those thoughts and entertain a thought like that. I'm glad I didn't act on it. It's one thing to have a little pity party. It's another thing to mature and grow from a babe to a soldier of the cross. And I can remember that day like it's yesterday. The devil sat beside me there and he said, I'd leave if I was you. That'd show him. Mm-hmm. That's one thing the devil kind of works through is spite. I'll show them. I'll show you. Mm-hmm. Tell you what you better do. You better stay close to God. I'm telling you, buddy. Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat.
Yes,
he said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. None of us on our own can stand up against the devil. And yet through Christ, we're more than conquerors. And through Christ, we have the victory. But none of us need to take too much on ourselves. Every one of us need to let God lead in our life. But I remember the devil putting that thought in my mind at Bethel Baptist Church, whom I love. But I was a babe back then. Man, I needed a good butt spanking is what I needed. I'm telling you the truth. You see, I know how to rightly divide the Bible now. But back then, what my pastor was preaching on, I wasn't up to it. I wasn't privy to it. In my opinion, his opinion, they didn't necessarily agree. Now, he and I, we don't 100% agree on everything, and that's true with everybody.
Right.
But on the important things we do, when Paul talked to Timothy about sound doctrine, we agree on sound doctrine. Some of those other trivial things, I don't know how anybody could know exactly the truth of them, because they're muddy, they're not clear. But sound doctrine is clear. It's not even up for controversy. But I'm sitting there, and you know, I've got an opinion. I'm like everybody got opinions. They're kind of like armpits. We all got a couple. Most of them stink. But anyway, my opinion was contrary to the opinion of my preacher. He was right. I was wrong. But at the time, I didn't know I was wrong. The devil slid right up our brother head. And he said, you know what I'd do if I was you? I'd leave. That's wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
That's stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
But I did entertain that thought. So I left that out there. I hope my pastor listened to this message. I'm so thankful for him. He's helped me in so many ways. There's been so much stuff I didn't know that he helped me with. I mean, I'm kind of like that Ethiopian eunuch reading his Bible, and Philip come alongside him, and he said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And that Ethiopian eunuch had enough of maturity to say this: "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And they stopped that chariot, and Philip went up in that chariot, and he began this same scripture, which happened to be Isaiah chapter 53, and preached unto him Jesus. And that Ethiopian eunuch said, "Behold, here's water. What doeth hinder men being baptized?" And if you've got the right Bible, you got verse number 37, which says, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And they stopped the chariot. That Ethiopian eunuch, Philip went down to water. He baptized him. Spirit caught away Philip. Then that Ethiopian eunuch saw him no more. But that Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Amen. I'm just telling you. My pastor, he's forgot more Bible than I'll ever know. But what little bit of Bible I know, I do a credit to his faithfulness, his unwavering steadfastness. Most disciplined man, I guess, I've ever met in my entire life. Very discerned. Satan see this. You know, a lot of churches, oh my, I guess they put a welcome mat on the door. I don't know. You know, in Revelations, it talks about become a habitation of devils. I may not be able to find this verse. Revelation chapter number 18. "After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried with a mighty strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and it has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." That described about 75% of the churches in America today. I was telling Donnie, God raised this country up, and he raised it up right. And I'm going to be preaching along those lines even today. We've let a lot of things fall by the wayside.
Yes, Lord.
This verse may it never be true of Landmark Baptist Church. Because if it is, old Brother Eddie, leave. I'm not going to be a partaker of that. But this church in Pergamos, the Lord here says, "I know your works." It's good to have works. He said, "I know where you dwellest." Even where Satan's seat is. Did you know they got a Bible out? Satan's Bible. Everything this Bible tells you do, it tells you don't do. It tells you prayer is a waste of time. Don't do it. Satan's Bible does. I'm glad I've got God's Word. Amen? Man, that's one of the greatest miracles of our day. That you can have a Bible. You can get one for $1, Dollar Tree. You can buy one for $100 and still you got a good deal. If you bought one for $1,000, you got a good deal. Oh my. The great treasures of this Bible. And this church here, evidently they let their guard down. Evidently they wasn't vigilant. Evidently they must have just said, "Come on in here. We're glad to have you." And God says, in a rebuke, "Even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and has not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you." Listen, where Satan dwelleth. The Bible says not to give no place to the devil. They said, "Come on in." This church. You know, how can two walk together except they be in agreement? And the Bible tells us you can't serve two. It says a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. Well, this church is kind of like a worldly church. And But they don't want to offend no one. They made accommodations and room. You know, was listening to Ron Ralph preach this morning. He's talking about this man. Said, boy, he's been a real blessing in our church. He built us a bowling alley and a basketball court or something like that. Listen, God's not about bowling alleys or basketball. God's about truth. This word's truth. He told preachers to preach the word of God. Preach it precept upon precept, line upon line. I'm gonna have to answer to God one day. I want you to know I'm fearful of one day answering to God one day for the preaching that I myself have preached. We'll give account of it. God talking to this church in Pergamos, and he said even where Satan's seat is, and then in the latter part, where Satan dwelleth, man, that just don't go together. I'm not trying to be racist here, but I just want you to know there's a difference between light and dark. The Bible says that light's not supposed to have any fellowship with darkness. And it talks about darkness. They're always saying, hate speech, hate speech, hate speech. Well, look in John chapter number 3, speaking about hate speech. Here, listen to this. I'm in John chapter 3, verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil, get this good, hateth the light. There's your hate speech. Let's go ahead and read verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifested there wrought in God. You see, if you let the devil hang around long enough, you'll be confused. Mm-hmm. If you let the devil hang around long enough, buddy, I'm telling you, you'll find yourself somewhere you're not supposed to be, doing something you're not supposed to do, speaking like you're not supposed to speak. The Bible tells us, now, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Our speech is supposed to be seasoned with grace. Our thoughts are supposed to be on the Lord. Cast down every imagination, every thought that exalts itself against Christ, bringing in suggestion. There's a whole lot to walking in the light. Verse 14. I'd have given you a hard time on Facebook, Brother Ed. Bless your heart, brother. Now, this is strong teaching. Strong meat. Everybody can't step up to this plate right here. And a lot of people don't like it. And they're contrary to it. And they hate it. I mentioned about if your Bible's got verse 37 in Acts chapter number 8, you got the right Bible. Well, let me say this also. If your Bible spells Savior with seven letters, you got the right Bible. Let that sink in a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Seven letters. You see, Savior spelled with six letters, and somebody pulls you out of the water when you're drowning. Somebody pulls you out of a burning car. But Savior with seven letters is somebody that has redeemed you. Big difference. I'm glad the King James Bible has seven letters spelling for Savior. God here says in verse 14, but I have a few things against thee. I don't want nothing between me and God. I don't. I love the fellowship with God. I love to drive down the road and have one of them. Woo! Hallelujah. How many people say I'm crazy? I'm the right kind of crazy. I'm crazy about Him. Hey, I'm enjoying every moment of the day since I met Him. The Lord says, I got a few things against you. Now He's still talking about the church in Pergamos. And the Lord's saying, I got something to say to you. And He said, I got something against you. And He said, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. You know, doctrine's an important thing. People say, I don't like to hear about doctrine. Okay. You don't like to hear about doctrine? Well, I wonder why that is. Wonder why you don't like to hear about doctrine. Well, let's take the Bible here to understand how important doctrine is. Paul, a seasoned preacher, giving advice to a younger preacher, tells him in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, talking about the living, and the dead at His appearing and kingdom. He says, Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and what? Doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, another word for doctrine, and shall be turned unto fables. That's how important doctrine is. He says to this church in Pergamos, I got a few things against you. He said, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. And Balaam was a prophet. God come close to kill him. If it hadn't been for a donkey, he would have killed him. Who taught, and the Bible talks about Balaam and Jude. I'm that close to it. He says, woe unto them, verse 11, they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. There's three rebukes right there in one verse, Jude verse 11. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and commit fornication. Who taught them to do that? Did anybody get that? Balaam. The prophet Balaam was hired to come curse Israel. God wouldn't let him do it. As a matter of fact, he pronounced blessing upon Israel. But he was a hireling. Here's what that hireling did. He taught Balak, that's the king, to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Verse 15, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. God's all about truth, not half-truths. John 17, 17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. I want the truth. Amen.
Amen.
No lies of the truth. 1 John mentions that. He that hath an ear, and we'll stop on this verse right here, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. That's kind of like a reference to the Word of God, but it's also something that's in heaven. The hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, that is mentioned in heaven, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving him that receiveth it. And we'll stop right there. Verse number 17. Anybody got any questions or comments concerning Revelations? Two churches here we read about, Smyrna and Pergamos. Anybody got any questions, comments about either one of those two churches? Let me tell you something. These are typologies of churches that God is warning not to be like. Some of them He wants you to be like, and others He's saying, don't be like the church of Pergamos. Don't let the devil come in.
Right.
The Bible talks about evil men creeping in. You got to be on watch. You got to be vigilant. You got to look out for this kind of stuff, cause a little leaven. Did anybody notice what happened to Nancy Pelosi's house?
Yeah.
Did anybody notice what happened to Mitch McConnell's house? A little leaven. See, it's out of hand now, out of control now. They thought it was kind of funny, you know, they turned all these Antifa and all that stuff loose. The chickens are coming home to roost now. It ain't funny no more.
Mm-hmm.
put a hog's head right there in Nancy Pelosi's driveway and poured fake blood all over it. Uh-huh. See what I'm talking about? You just can't promote what they promoted and not get repercussions from it. I'm done. Unless somebody else has got anything to say, we'll stop right there. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, for the lesson of today. I pray, God, for those that hear this by way of live stream, and Lord, by way of the internet. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the technology of our day that allows us, Lord, to lengthen our tent stakes, allowed us, Lord, to get the Word of God out beyond these four doors of this church. We thank you for it. I pray you'll bless, Father, this message, Lord. Get it where it's needed. May it be received. May it be, I pray, honored. And Lord, I pray to help people out there, Father. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen.
All right.